Hello there, this is Dave Allen for EV 20 Questions, and this is a podcast about electric vehicles and driving them, the nitty-gritty of what it's like to be an owner and a driver. Hello there, this is Dave Allen for EV 20 Questions, and it was a day to go and do a road trip, an electric vehicle road trip, no less. So, was it going to be electric vehicle cross-border driving or not? I wonder. Anyway, I got a new RFID card. It's from Revio, and they're an energy group for electric vehicle charging points in the south of France. And I decided I was going to take a trip out to test it. The gasometer now tends to show me approximately 250 to 260 kilometres on a full charge. In summer, it could have been as much as 280. The weather isn't too cold here, so I kind of wonder how things are for people with electric vehicles in more severe climates. So I set off on a mission to drive into France to the nearest Revio charge point. I have the application from Revio to help me find their charging points as well. And I was looking for a charging point that was on the Revio thing there, but it wasn't on the PlugShare, so I could do some adding to PlugShare. I quickly saw that there were 5 charging points to choose from just across the border. There's a lot in France. It's really good over there, actually. It's amazing, even. The cost of charging was going to be €1.50 for 1 hour, and then after that it was going to cost 2.5 cents per minute. The charge points were rated at 22 kilowatts delivery, and I was interested to find out if I'd get that much in my Nissan Leaf. Well, I was wondering if I was going to get the 6.6 that the Nissan Leaf will do, because last time on my visit to France, I stopped at a station in Surette, and it was rated at 22 kilowatts, but it was only delivering approximately 3 kilowatts, which was pretty poor. On that occasion, I was using the Sodatrel Isuvia. I still can't say that one. And I didn't have a good experience with the charging or the price. It ended up costing me €4.50, and I got very little in terms of kilowatts, and I was disappointed. And that was a bit of a mystery, so I think perhaps I should have used the new motion card which I had at the time then, but I wanted to try that Sodatrel one out instead. So on the drive towards the border, I was driving next to the motorway some of the way, and as I got closer to the border, I could see the large queue of lorries were building up on the AP7. Just before I got into La Jonquera, I joined a queue because I was driving off the motor because I was more interested in driving, and hit a traffic jam. Well, not hit it, but I joined it. And I was stopped completely for a while. And for a little while, I was stopped for about 5 minutes. And I thought, well, shall I go on? Shall I stop? Shall I turn around? And there's still quite a while to go to get to actual border. So I was right before, you know, maybe sort of 2 kilometres before I got into La Jonquera. So I decided to do a U-turn anyway, and I looked for a different route. I pulled off a short way back on the road suggested by Waves. I thought, well, I'll go down there and have a look, and it took me through a ford going over a little stream across by the side of the motorway. I took a short break on the other side and I checked the map, and I decided the rerouting wasn't going to do me any favours. It was only bringing me past a couple of roundabouts and back into the queue again. I decided it was going to be a much better idea to head back home and give up for the day. But all was not lost. I decided it would be a good day to test the other rapid charger that I wanted to test in Figueres. On my last trip, I tested out a rapid charge at the Nissan dealer in Figueres, and that was sort of on the way towards France, and it worked out very nicely. It's a charger that you could use 24/7 because it was not inside a workshop or behind a gate, so that was kind of good. I suppose I should check it out of hours, because they could actually turn the electric off when they're not there, who knows. Well, I've tried that one of these days. But anyway, I wanted to test one that was nearer to the centre of the town. I got there, and there was a car that was just pulling into the charging spot, and it wasn't an electric car, of course. It was going to ice me, and he parked sort of half on the charging bay and half off. So I pulled up behind him and I stopped the car, got out, and says, just a wave to him actually, because he didn't open his window, but I just indicated that I wanted to use the charging bay, and he politely moved back and allowed me to pull into the charging bay. That was all right, that was nice of him. There was another car which pulled into the charging bay in front, and that was also a nice engine, but they didn't stay there long. They were just using the space just to drop some people off, but I suppose people are not quite used to how it works with charging bays yet, especially in here in Spain. They're a bit sort of new and exciting and different, and people don't know what to do with them, and they are still parking on them. Even though the parking spot was nicely painted green, and it should be fairly sort of evident that it was just for electric cars, but still. This rapid charger, it's a large electric vehicle charging point. It's set in between two charging bays, one in the front, one behind it. And the charging bay at the rear is suitable for front loader cars like my Nissan Leaf or the Hyundai Kona. The charging bay at the front can really only be used by cars which have the charging socket at the rear, because if I pulled into the front, I don't think the cable would reach as far as my socket on the front of my car. So that's interesting to note. But it's probably one of these things that can only use one charging thing at a time. So it really wouldn't make a lot of difference. If I pulled into the front, even if I had a charging socket at the rear of the car and there was someone using the DC charger behind, then I wouldn't be able to use it anyway. If someone was using a Renault Zoe perhaps, then it's possible that I could have used a DC connection. But if they would be using the charging bay at the rear, so that still kind of leave me kind of stuffed. And because it was a one-way street and it would have been impossible or difficult to turn around and point the car in the right direction, I still wouldn't be able to use it anyway because I've not been able to get into the spot. So anyway, I got in there and it was easy to set up and connect to the charging point. I used the RFID card I got from Barcelona, the Barcelona Live card, and that was just fine. It was very easy, no problem at all getting connected and activated. The charging point is next to a fruit shop and a couple of supermarkets, just around the corner where three or four restaurants of various types. And they're not going to open 24/7, but during the daytime and late into the evening they'll be open, so that's kind of useful. Also in the vicinity there was three cake shops where you'd probably get a drink or a cup of coffee or tea or something. Well, you wouldn't get tea, but coffee you get anyway. And not only that, there was a small park area not far away and benches you could sit on and watch the world go by. So it wasn't too bad a place to stop, really. When you go to the other charging points around the town, there's not much there to distract you. I had a little bit of a walk around to check out all these different places while I was stopped there, and it was okay. And when you finished charging, you just put your card back up against the card reader on the machine and it stops, and the charging was free. Lovely. I decided to continue on the route back home via Girona and use one of the rapid chargers available there. I headed for the charger at Girona Sud. The charger is situated in a car park and there's no facilities nearby. I suppose you could walk to the shops not too far away, but you wouldn't have time to do anything while there, because walking to the shops and then walking back again would be long enough for the amount of time you have available at the charging point. Lucky for me, I had my new 12-volt car kettle. This is a small kettle I got from Amazon and it seems to work fairly well. It heated the water up to the proper temperature to make tea. It did take a long time, or seemed to anyway. I didn't get any of the steam coming out there that indicated that it was ready. Maybe there's some sort of thermostat on it which allows it just to go to a certain temperature. But it was hot enough to make tea and it worked. Happy days. I did a good bit of filling up there and I got back home. I'd covered 185 kilometres. And because I'd stopped in Girona and topped up the battery when I got home, I still had about 75% left in the battery. This means my drive of the day was extremely cheap. Topping up the battery at home using the cheaper nitrate electricity cost me less than €1. A day out for next to nothing. Not bad, eh? The joys of driving an electric car, especially the Nissan Leaf. Lovely. That was that. That was Monday. And then on Wednesday, I was heading off to Barcelona in the car to go to the airport. At the charging point in Barcelona, which is round the back of the airport, I could have parked there because there's loads of parking places. I wouldn't have left the car at the charger because it was a rapid charger and you can't just leave the car there for 3 or 4 days. At some point in time, it would be good if they could put some, you know, Schuko plugs where you could plug in a granny charger at a charging bay in the airport. That would be kind of useful, that would, because you could go away and come back to 100% battery. Although it's not really very good to be leaving your car charged up fully for too much time, so perhaps I wouldn't do that. In this case, it worked out quite well to pull into this charging place, have 15 minutes on the charging, put enough in there so I got 75% in the battery, and that would give me plenty for driving home, so I could drive home without having to wait or do any sort of looking for charging points on the way back. It wasn't going to really be a problem that sort of late on a Sunday evening to find a charging place to fill up before I go home, but it was nice to be able to have it done, and then I could head back home without having to sort of mess about doing it. I was tempted to stop at a charger on the way back, but I had plenty, and I got back home with, I think it was about 13%. I didn't come straight home. I went to the nearest town by the coast to, we had to go and pick up the mother-in-law and then come back home. But it wasn't too much extra. I would have arrived back with, say, 20%, something like that, but I arrived back here with 15%, and everything was good. So I plugged it when I got home, and Rosie's been charging overnight. And when I go to it this morning, because I've got to go and pick up the dogs from the kennel still, everything's going to be just fine. I'll be back up to 100% again. So this is Dave Allen for EV20 Questions. If you could do me a favour and go to your podcatcher and or iTunes and go and leave a review and some stars. It's nice if you can leave a positive review and 5 stars, because that helps people find the podcast. The more sort of positive reviews we get, the more people are able to find us because of the algorithms they have on these things. We're getting a few sort of more people listening to the podcast. At some point in time, I'm going to put it onto Patreon, and I'm going to start doing a few sort of extra episodes that are just for people who are Patreon subscribers. So for the moment, I've just been happy to do this for free and to build up the listenership, and for just talking about my electric car and letting people know what it's like to be an EV car driver and owner. So thanks for taking the time to listen to the EV 20 Questions podcast, and I hope you're enjoying your electric car just as much as I'm enjoying mine. And if you don't have an electric car yet, then I hope this is going to encourage you to get one and do your bit for saving the planet, or just for the sake of driving an electric car and enjoying yourself, because they certainly are fun to drive. So there you go. This is Dave Allen. Bye-bye now. Talk to you again soon. Hello there, this is Dave Allen for EV20 Questions, and this is a podcast about electric vehicles and driving them, the nitty-gritty of what it's like to be an owner and a driver. Hello there, this is Dave Allen for EV20 Questions, and let's talk about getting some heating going in the car. Well, one of the great things about having a connected electric car is the ability to turn on the heating remotely. And it's possible to do it with an app, and it's also possible to do it with a timer within the car, so that's quite good. And it's the first time I've set it up. I've had the car for about 9-10 months now, and what's been good about it is that having this facility available but never needing to use it because I live in a warm climate. So anyway, on Tuesday mornings I have to get up early, and I thought, well, let's give it a try, because it'd be nice, because it can be quite cool in the mornings around about 0 degrees, and I'll leave the car outside for those nights. So, well, let's put the heating on. So I get out of the house and I'm heading to work, I'm going to be as warm as toast, and so I'll give it a try, and it worked out really good. I was really pleased. It's perfect to leave your car outside, or in fact I could use it in the summertime as well if it comes to it. In fact, when I'm at the beach, it'd be really good. So when I sort of start to pack up my things on the beach and ready to go, and what I could do is I could use the application. And we'll talk about the application in a minute, because it's not perfect. So I could use this application to set the climatisation for the car, so that by the time I get back to the car, it's not going to be boiling inside, you know, just in case I've had to leave it out in the sun all that time while I've been sitting on the beach enjoying myself. Okay, so there's 2 timers in the car, and the second one's redundant for me because I only really need just the 1 timer, but still it's nice to have it there in case I want to have a different set of timings for a different set of days. So I set this up for 5 o'clock in the morning, and as I said, it was bloody lovely when I got into the car, and it was as warm as toast. In fact, I enhanced the situation even more by setting up the seat heater, and that sort of does a great job of warming up your back and your bum as well, so that you're really, really toasty as you drive. In fact, you could even go another stage further and turn on the heated steering wheel as well. Apparently, none of this actually takes a lot away from the battery. Now, one of the things is that you can set it so that it will only work when it's connected to some DC or AC charger. So it's not using the battery to be able to do that. I suppose at that stage there, if you're not fully charged, it could sort of reduce the amount of power going into the battery, so it could take a little bit longer to charge up. Or if it's fully charged, the battery, then you know, it won't make a lot of difference. You'll just be taking the energy from the charging post and it going straight into warming the car up for you or cooling the car for you. So whichever way it goes, you know. So that's something that's quite good. And you can set it up with a different time for each of the days if you want to. Or maybe you can set it up so that you've got a specific time and you set it up for those times within for each of those days, which is why you could need to have two timers. So you set the time for, say, 5 o'clock on one of the days and then have a different time for the rest of the days of the week where you want to have a car warmed up for you. Or, as I say, you could just do sort of remotely, but manually by using the application. Now, the thing about the application is this, is that it doesn't really work very well. For a start off, the Nissan Leaf app, the one actually comes from Nissan, it is very, very slow to operate, and it's even been not very good in terms of logging you in, and sometimes it just hasn't worked at all, where you could be waiting for minutes even. And when we're expected to be able to normally pick up stuff on our computers, our iPads or iPhones and have things happen more or less instantaneous, it really is a poor show from Nissan. Quite often you sort of have to wait for it to update the details from the car. I suspect what happens is that it goes off to some sort of server somewhere and gets the connection from there back to the car. I don't think the connection to the car is very quick. I think it's something like a 3G, where it would be a whole lot faster and much better if there was a 4G connection within the car. I wonder if that could be changed. Change the card in it and maybe change the modem in it or something like that so that you have 4G connection to the car would be good. So anyway, that's the way that works pretty poorly. You have to wait for a long time for the car to say what the state is. And then you can do that thing where you press on the button and tell the AC or the heating to start. And again, it takes a bit of a while for the message to get through to the car and for it to do its job. So that's how nice it is. I mean, the temperatures here in summer can go up to 30, 35 degrees. So you can imagine it'd be quite neat indeed to have a cool car to get back into after I've been to the beach for a while. So what else have we got going with the car? Well, as I say, I'm 10 months into the ownership of the car and I still love the car, even though to a certain extent it's got to be where I'm just totally used to it. And I just get in the car and drive it. I don't worry too much about the fact that it's an electric car and so on. I've got used to how much range I can get when I go driving some places. I know how much planning I need to do to be able to have it just set right so I can go someplace and not worry about range. On my last couple of trips out, I've got back with battery to spare. I've arrived in places with plenty of battery to spare. I haven't worried in the slightest with how it works. It's been really good. Now that I'm back at work again, 6 days of the week, I'm only using it to drive the 11 kilometres to work and 11 kilometres back home again. I only charge it up every 3 or 4 days and then making sure that on the Sunday evening, which is the day before my day off, I plug it in overnight so that I have got a full charged battery in the morning. So if I want to go someplace on Monday, I'm all set and ready to go. Now, the other thing to mention is the fact that things are changing fast in the electric vehicle world. There's the new Tesla M3, which, of course, I did have a reservation for, but I stopped the reservation and I used the money for something else, mainly as well because I'm quite happy with the Leaf and I don't think it's absolutely necessary. I got a Tesla Model 3. I'd like one because it'd be very good for those long trips and having that network of chargers throughout Europe, which would be really, really good for long trips. But I don't really do that many long trips, and for the long trips I'm going to do, I think the charging network that's out there and going to be going out there over the next year or so is going to be fine for me anyway. And in terms of how far I can drive on a single charge or a second charge after I've charged it once during the day, then I'm quite happy with as far as I can get because I need to stop and have a bit of a rest. And I like driving, but I don't like it driving that much that I can just keep driving the whole day long without having some decent brakes. So the Nissan Leaf, as it is at the moment, with a 40 kilowatt hour battery, is just right for me. But you know what it's like when these things are coming out, because there's new motor shows coming up all the time, and there's just the one in Shanghai at the moment, and there's all sorts of fancy looking cars that have been demonstrated there, either concept cars or something like that happening, coming out, and you think, oh gee, that'd be nice, I wouldn't mind one of those. And they're talking about having ranges of 168 miles on one of these cars, which is Yeah, a decent amount of kilometres, a bit more than what I have in the Nissan Leaf at the moment. And then there's other cars, of course, where you're getting 400 kilometres of range or even 500 kilometres of range. And so the thing about those bigger batteries is that it's a bigger battery and it's something that has to be carted around all the place anyway. And if you're not absolutely desperately in need of a really long-range batteried car for doing those long trips, then why spend the extra money and getting one of them? Now, another thing I've noticed as well in the news is that they're talking about how far away it's going to be before the cost of electric cars comes down to a level equal to the gasoline cars. And it's said that about sort of, say, 10 years ago, they said, well, it's about 9 years away. And then 5 years ago, they said, no, it's about 5 years away. And now they're talking about 2 or 3 years away, it's going to be electric cars are going to be cheaper to buy than the gasoline-powered cars. The sooner we can all get into electric cars, the better. I get a bit disappointed sometimes when I'm sort of working and all the vehicles that come into the campsite, they're all big, horrible, smelly diesel. The smell of them is disgusting sometimes, especially some of the older ones there, and the particulates and noxious fumes that are coming out are really sort of offensive. And on the good side of things, on that, as far as new things coming up concerned, is that there's a new Ford Transit van going to be coming out in, I think it's either 1 or 2 years' time. And that's going to be really good. Fully electric van and of a decent size. And it would be perfect for making a camper van. And that's the sort of thing that we want to see. Sort of these camper vans that could be really good to have. In fact, at some point in time, I could even consider swapping the Leaf out for a camper van. For my retirement, shall we say, I could just go travelling around Europe and stick some solar panels on the roof. If I'm at a place where I can't actually plug in, I could stay there long enough and just let the van be charged up by the sun, which would be really nice, wouldn't it? Mind you, you'd have to have some pretty big solar panels to do that, but it's something to think about anyway, isn't it? So anyway, this is Dave Allen, just having a wee bit of a chat about electric vehicles and what's in the pipeline and what's not in the pipeline for me. And I'm still happy with my Nissan Leaf. I'm really pleased with it. It's really good to get in and have the silent drive and using the ProPilot Assist and the intelligent cruise control and the really rapid acceleration when I'm actually sort of going on to join up to a fast road and I've only got a short run up to get up to the speed of the traffic that's going along there already. So I'm always pleased I can make a safe manoeuvre onto the fast traffic that's already moving along on the road there. And as I say, the heating, which is what this blog post was all about. Go and have a look at the website and the blog post if you haven't checked it out already. There's the whole story there about setting up the heating. So this is Dave Allen for EV20 Questions. Bye-bye now. Talk to you again soon. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the EV20Q podcast, and I hope it's inspired you to get an electric car. And if you've got an electric car already, I hope you're enjoying yours just as much as I'm enjoying my Nissan Leaf. If you could do me one small favour, and that's go into your podcatcher of choice and leave a review. Or go into iTunes and leave a review there and give it 5 stars if you can. It really helps the people find the podcast due to the way the algorithm works in these podcatchers. Thanks very much.